Savior, we thank you for the sacrifice of yourself, for willingly offering up yourself as a gift. We come today receiving that. We come afresh to say, I need that. I thank you for the cleansing that you provide. I thank you for the forgiveness. Lord, there's no earning or achieving or attaining on my part of my forgiveness. Only you and your payment. And I thank you that it'll never fail. Even though I fail you again and again. Even though we make choices and we knew better before we made them, you still forgive. Even as you told Peter, when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. You knew he was coming back because you weren't going to fail him. You keep us. What a marvelous thought. So as we look today at what does it mean to team up with you in the body, would you explain it to us by your Spirit? Would you explain it to us, Lord, not just in our heads, but in our hearts and in the very recesses of our soul, that we would be gripped by your call on us for this body, for this community, for the glory of yourself, Jesus. Teach through me as I share the word. Break through any hindrance. Break through any resistance that we have had to truth. Lord, you know our scars. You know our fears. You know our frustrations. You know our doubts. But we just want to know you. So help us move that way today. For your glory and our joy. You may be seated. So what does it take to win? You know, last week with NFL playoffs, four very powerful teams played. And two very powerful teams got blown off the field. And yet all year, those teams had been winning. And yet you saw very quickly in both games, all of a sudden, unless something turns around here, these guys are not going to win. And there's a challenge to step up to every time a football player steps on the field. But there's a challenge to step up to every time you step out of bed. Will you do what God calls you to do in your position, in your place? And so we've talked about this, that you have a position. And we talked about that you're a part of the team. And so today I want to talk to you about this. What is this idea? What does it take to win? Because there's a lot of teams that are getting by. And some teams are not even getting by. And us 49ers are just going to have to wait. But the idea is that your potential is there in Christ to make a difference. And we need to see what it takes. Because in football, there's three phases of the game. There's offense, there's defense, there's special teams. And a team can lose the whole game by losing one phase. And so a church, too, can be very strong in one area and be losing the game in another. And in your own life, you can be strong in one area and very weak in another. And so I want to talk to this idea about how do you step up to fulfill the role that God's given you Because, you know, one fumble can change the outcome of a game. One interception. And, of course, if you're the person on the defense, then, hey, you're actually playing your position when you made the fumble. See, you're playing your position when you made the interception. And so realizing what is God calling me to do is a critical factor for each of us in the body of Christ. And am I stepping up to what he's called for me? So turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4 again, if you will. We slowly walk through this section. We are alive in Christ. And in Christ, we then have this opportunity and responsibility in the family to be who he's called you to be. So let's look at this. And I'll back up to last week's section for context. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as pastors, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of Man, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. And as a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. It is an awesome thing, friends, but God has chosen you to be a part of his divine expression of himself today in the body of Christ. And so when we talk about winning is, as a church, is when the church works together to grow up in love. He has this whole plan. He says, this is what a win is. Sometimes as parents, there's a challenge as you're raising your children. You know, the goal is not just to keep them alive. You know, there's some times with us, my five siblings, that was a primary goal for the day. But the idea was that there would be this relationship expressed by being together. Isn't that right? God has this intention for us as a church. And so for us to win in God's kingdom is to step forward into the role that he has. And so a church wins when believers are working together to become more like Christ. Did you see how he said that all the way through this section? Now I want to kind of walk this out with you, because here's the question. Okay, that's easy to say. You know, it's just like telling your children, hey, would you please get along? That always worked at home, didn't it? Just tell them, hey, get along, and it just always flows that way. Now, there's challenges in this process. And if you've been in the body of Christ very long, you do realize there are challenges in this process. So, look what he says. When we grow in this unity of the faith, that's where we were last week, verse 13, And in the knowledge of the Son of Man, when you get rooted in Christ, when you know who you are in him and who he is in you, as a result, okay, so this is something that comes out of this. This isn't separate from this. It comes out of this. We're no longer to be children. It isn't that hard to grow old. It can be very difficult to grow up. All right? And so he says, until you attain to the unity of this faith, why? As a result that you no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by trickery of men, by craftiness. He says, I don't want you to be immature. I want you to be mature. You know, I hear this from young moms. I really don't remember thinking this as a father, but I do hear it from young moms, and particularly from both of my daughter-in-laws. Oh, they're just so cute. I'm just really sad they're growing up so fast. I never remember the sadness they're growing up fast part. I was excited. Like, come on, let's move. Let's get up and get on with it. You know, it's kind of like when we had a child and our first, and then when he was waiting for the brother, you know, and the brother shows up, and we, Susie came in one day, and his little bassinet was full of all of Isaiah's stuffed animals. And he came in to Mom, he says, he won't play with me. You know, you just want to see them grow up. You want to see them go on. And friends, that's in the body of Christ too. You can stay a child forever. But it looks really ugly when adults are walking around in diapers. Okay, there's some responsibility to grow up and be who you are called to be. And so when he talks about this result, about becoming a mature person, we need to show up to wise up. You have to be a person who begins to take in truth. You show up in your God time. You spend daily time with Him. You show up in fellowship where the Word is going to be taught. When you show up here, I tell you things that you would not tell yourself. All right? I tell myself things that I would not tell myself. And then I also go listen to other teachers because I know exhortation from somebody else will touch you and mature you in a different way. But it's a way to continue to grow. I was listening to somebody else's teaching yesterday, and I was just like, yeah, I want to just go listen through it again, but I wasn't done, so I had to keep working on this. But there's that idea that your God time, your time here when we gather for teaching, and then, you know, we have that other time, that life group time where you get to interact with the truth with other people. This is what allows you to mature and to grow up. The Saturday morning group I'm a part of, we had a blast yesterday. It was a great interaction with truth. And guys talk, well, what about this? And we are ready for next week because these guys want to talk about the heretics. You know, because that's what he's talking about here. There's people out there who are intentionally wanting to deceive you. You know, this isn't accidental. This isn't, oh, I didn't know I was lying to you. That's politicians. But... But friends, that's also people in the spiritual realm. Just because somebody comes to your door with a Bible does not mean they're your friend. Jesus said there'd be many false teachers all the way through the New Testament. As soon as the church starts, correction begins to be delivered because there's a knowledge of the Son of Man that needs to be held to for us to be able to wise up. Because children are easily influenced. They're easily tricked. They're easily deceived because they haven't lived that long. And so he said, I want you to not be a child anymore. And so one of the things that I encourage you to do is, hey, be faithful in the service. I encourage you, bring your Bible. I encourage you, when I'm teaching from it, read from it. So you'll see, this isn't just my stuff. I'm only sharing his stuff, okay? And then go home and search it out. Why do we give you these little bulletins with all those other verses? It's because I can't get there. You don't want to stay here that long, but I want you to grow that much, okay? So I'm giving you that so that you'll step into that, all right? And then obey it. I say, how am I going to do this? And then share it with somebody else. That's part of his plan for us, all right? See, the goal is not activity. It's stability. That you would be strong and bold in Christ. Because we live in a culture that says Christ is a higher power. All right? That Christ is a way to God. That Christ is a truth. But in John 14:6, there is a truth that's very clear, not very subtle, but very clear. I'd like you to read with me from John 14:6. Read it. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. That's called narrow. It's awesome, it's accurate, and it's true. But friends, there is only one way. And so you have to wise up in Christ. You have to show up and say, I need to know what I need to know about who Christ is, about how Christ works, so that I can stand against the opportunities of the world to deceive. There's a tendency we get to know one another, we'll ask this question. So how old are you? You know, you got to be careful who you ask and when you ask it, but you know, I think it's a better question is, how much have you grown this year? How much have you matured this year? So, friends, there are intentional deceivers out there, but we need to be those who will stand on the truth. All right, so he said, I want you to be growing up in this way. Now, here's the deal. In church, it's just like on the football field. A coach can tell you what he tells you. You have to make the play. I can give you something great and say, hey, this is where we need to go. We're going this way. Here we go. If you don't move, if your Bible doesn't open, if you don't take it in, we won't mature. That's one of the other things. We're all interlinked. We're going to get here in just a minute, all right? But we have to speak out the truth, because in a society, there is this tendency to undermine the exaltation of Christ. Christ makes people uncomfortable with his exclusive claim. And Jesus said in John 8 something to his disciples. In fact, it's interesting. We'll read this together. I like to have you guys read. All right? It's interesting. When you hear it, by the way, this is another great way when you're taking in the word. If you tend to be a person who dozes off, whether you're, you know, evening devotions or morning devotions, read it aloud. Okay? All right? One of the things I do to get up in the morning is be doing my verses. You know, I got verse box that I go through. Is... I'll do some exercise. Get that blood circulating, but find a way to get this in. Okay, I got this little tickle going on here. You can have... Tim, could you help me out there with that? So in John 8, would you read this together? He said to those Jews who what?
Believe.
Who had believed. So these are people who are believers. And he says what? If you continue. See, the point was not that they'd made a choice. The point was that they would walk out their choice by continuing in the word. It is a great thing to say yes to Jesus. I hope you have. I hope you will. It is the most important decision you will ever make. But it's not the end. If you continue in my word, then you're what? Truly disciples of mine. That's what we're making. See, we're not here to make converts. We're here to make disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I can't make you free. Can't do it, friends. But the truth that I'm sharing with you, his truth, can set you free from anything. It can break any chain. All right, what do we mean? If you get distracted from these truths, you begin looking to other sources rather than to the Savior. And so it's critical to understand who he is and to follow after him. So that is this issue. And when we do that, when we stay focused on him, the goal that we have is that we would win souls, that we would share Christ in such a way that others would come to trust Christ. Has that not been the best decision that you have ever made? It's the best decision. You want that for somebody else. You can't give that to somebody else. You can't force that on somebody else. But you can live that in front of somebody else so they will know what you have come to know. So, if you're stable, if you move out of being a baby, all right, begin to speaking the truth in love, we grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. Speaking the truth in love. Some of you are real proud of your ability to speak truth. I want to expand your capacity. It's not just truth that people need. It's that we would speak the truth when love is the motivation. Because Paul says over there in 1 Corinthians 13, what? If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, what? Profits me nothing. Yeah, I become a noisy gong. We got a gong back here? Or a clanging cymbal. You know, hey, a cymbal sounds really good in the right place. Some of you are sharing the gospel with people. Some of you are sharing a word of advice with people. And you are giving the right word. But it is compelled from a fear, from an anger, from a frustration, from a desire to control. And it's a gong in their life. Because it's love that brings about transformation. Parents, this is a critical thing. As you give your kids instruction, parents, grandparents, as you speak, it's a critical thing that love is what gives you instruction. So because we need to speak up so they will grow up. All right, speak up so you can grow up. And it is the responsibility of believers in the body that we would speak up to one another. As Jim was leading us in worship this morning, you were speaking up. Some of you may not have. All right, we missed you. All right, there's something that happens. In fact, I kind of got this tickle because I was having a celebration with my Savior this morning. And I probably celebrated a little too much, but I'll deal with it. But the idea that when you sing, sometimes our songs are strictly focused on Christ. Other times, what? It's an exhortation to one another. Believe this. Believe this. Jesus' blood never fails me. I'm not telling that to Jesus. I'm telling that to my soul. I'm telling that to you. It never does. Isn't that right? So we exhort one another. That's actually in the scriptures. We're going to get there here in chapter in Ephesians. It's there over in Colossians. That you would speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You would tell each other the truth in love. I don't know about you, but my mouth gets me in more trouble than any other portion of my body. It does. But you know what? The mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. And some of you are trying to work on a filter out here when you just need to go work on the well. Go work on the well. What is it that's polluting your mouth? Why is those angry things? Why deal with that? Because our goal is not information. Our goal is transformation. Right, that's what we want to see. That you would speak up so they'll grow up. Why? So that we would be transformed. So that we would really grow into who he's called us to be. And it's interesting how he explains it here. He says, you speak the truth in love. We are to grow up some. Anybody have that in your translation? We're to grow up some. Check your Bible, so your preacher might be false teaching here. No, he says, we're to grow up in what? What's it say? Anybody got anything other than all? Hey, you're to grow up in all aspects. Where have you settled? Where have you settled? Say, you know what? This is enough. I'm mature enough. I'm strong enough. I'm big enough. You can do that in your physical conditioning, but friends, in your spiritual conditioning, we need to be growing up in all aspects. You know, a diamond has many different facets. That's one of the reasons it's such a beautiful stone. And it's the idea that, friends, you are God's diamond, and he wants to cut the hard stone to put another facet on it so that all aspects of his light would be reflected through you. And so we speak the truth in love. Sometimes it seems like it's cutting, you know, like the pastor, my sweet, gentle, senior citizen pastor when I was in college, who wrote me this nice letter and says, James, you are an ungrateful student. How could Monty possibly say that? I can still remember throwing the letter down going, Monty said that? But the congregation I was a part of where I had gotten saved over here in Gaskey had been supporting me to go to Bible college. Never said a word of thanks. I was an ungrateful student. I appreciated it, but I never communicated. Somebody had to speak the truth in love to me and say, hey, grow up in this aspect. It wasn't that I wasn't growing in many aspects. I just wasn't growing in that one. And I needed to move on. Do you understand? We have come to a culture sometimes that thinks that all you can say is nicey nice things to one another. This book has lots of not so nicey nice things to tell you. But it's the only way you're going to grow. Now, some of you, oh good, I can say the mean things. That's not what I said. You're to speak the truth in love. So love has to look at how, what do they need? How do they take it? I know you guys have never had it happen, but I've had it happen a couple times with me, is that you say something that you think you meant to say. What your wife heard was not exactly what you meant to say. You have to learn how to speak in love. And so you have to know people. You have to grow into this. But friends, it's love that matures us. Christ is our example of love. He's our Savior through his love. But he's a shepherd who comes along and says, hey, you guys leaving? Or to Peter, here's a really nice encouraging statement. Get behind me, Satan! Oh, how much therapy would you need after Jesus said that to you? Now, Jesus knew Peter, so he could say that. He knew what Peter needed to hear. I mean, he's God, all right? So he's speaking the right words. I'm just here to tell you, sometimes when God speaks to you, it's so blunt, it's so painful, but it's so necessary. Friends, in our relationships with each other, we have to love one another enough to tell each other the truth. Compliments are nice. Compliments are needed. Encouragement is needed. Quit lying to people. Be willing to invite them out. Because here's what I found. Some people can live their whole lives just around the corner from truth. They're close. And nobody loves them enough to say, you know, that's not working. Do you know that hurts? Do you know you're causing pain through this? Do you know that that's a disgrace to Christ? The author of Hebrews says that we are to encourage one another. How often? Day after day, as long as it is still called today. Why? Lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. I get hardened. You get hardened. I need people to encourage me. So I need to speak out the truth in other people's lives, and I need you to speak out the truth into mine. You know, all of us have said things that we regret. True story? Yeah. My biggest regrets are what I've not said. I want you to think about that. Think about that for yourself. The times when you should have spoke up and you weren't willing to. That's how it works for me. And so we are told, again, in Hebrews, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but encouraging one another day after. With this idea also, he says, not forsaking the assembling, that you would consider how to what? Provoke one another to love and good deeds. Yeah, that's the word. Literally, spur. Are you spurring each other on? All right, you know, football players, they'll come alongside, whack, the back of the head. You know, hey, let's go. Encourage each other. Know who you're talking to so you know what works for them. Come on, stay with me. But what are we here for? We're here to make disciples. I'm not here to make converts. I'm here to make a person who says, I will follow Christ. I won't just be a fan of Christ. I'll be his follower. I will commit myself to what he calls me to do. And there is somebody in your life that he wants you discipling. He said make disciples. If you're a disciple of Christ, then you are to be a disciple maker. That doesn't mean you have a flock of 200. You have a flock of one. You can make that investment. And some of you moms, I want to encourage you, would you never, never, never give up? You are not done. You're still planting seed, and some seeds sprout slowly. Just be faithful. Be faithful. All right. Now, what does he say here? Look at this. Verse 16. This has got to be one of my all-time favorite verses in the description of how the body works. And it's a whole science lesson here, and I won't be able to give it all to you, but let's look at it. 16. From whom... Who is the from whom? Whom are we referring to? Look back up there. Verse 15. Even Christ, the head. Okay? The head is doing this work in the body. So understand this. This is not the preacher pushing. I'm just telling you what Christ is committed to doing in you and through you. All right? So Christ is doing this. From whom? That's Christ. The whole body is fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Fitted and held together by every joint supplies. Friends, it is a critical thing for us in the church that we would link up to build up. That you would understand that there's a responsibility for you to connect with somebody else. And you have a function to fulfill. We encourage you to be involved. I don't want you doing everything. Lord, help us. You'd be a mess and we'd be a mess. But I do believe you can be doing something. And that's that issue. You will not mature without exercise, without doing something with what he's given you. There is a time to be on the sidelines and there's a time to be in the game. Not everybody's in the game all the time, but everybody should be in the game sometime. There's a place for us. And so God wants you to grow up, and we grow by doing what he's told us to do. All right? And so when we measure health, you know, we need to be careful of what we're thinking about. I don't know how long you've been in church, but back in the day, I was going to get a picture of this and I forgot to do it, but when you come to church, there used to be a little wooden board over on the in our church. It was on the left-hand side. Some of you are nodding your heads. You already know what I'm talking about. And it would tell you, attendance last week. It would sometimes they have the offering total there. And it was one of the ways church is measured. In fact, they call it the ABCs of church. You do know the ABCs of church, right? Attendance, buildings, cash. That's the way American culture a lot of times has measured church. It's not the way Scripture measures church. Buildings are never even brought in. And attendance isn't a goal. Friends, our goal is not attendance. Our goal is participation. Now, you have to attend to participate, okay? So when you hear, say, hey, show up, that's an important thing to do. But you show up to play the game. You show up to do your part. And it's not just show up, meaning come to the building. It's show up in your life group. This is just 1 hour of the week. I know, I wish I could make it a few more, but that's probably just me. Listen, you're fitted and you're held together. So what holds, what supplies? Now this is really interesting. But these bodies of ours, you know, and I've got physical therapists and chiropractors who've been trying to make my body work again. And I want to say thank you to you guys who've been helping me with that. But you've got a bunch of joints, don't you? 360 of them. And they're all needed. And the funny thing is, you know, if some of you know what I'm talking about here. If you got arthritis in your little finger, can it bug the rest of your body all day? Oh, yeah. So I don't care if you think you're a little finger. You've got a part to play and quit making life painful for the rest of us. Get moving. All right? Stiffness in the joints causes pain throughout the whole body. Okay? And I don't want to see any stiff joints. I want us to be moving. And yet the ligaments, he says, you know, it is, we're strengthened by that. Every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part. Your body is this amazing creation of Jesus Christ. And the ligaments are extremely firm. The muscles are the softer tissue, and those things connect. But every joint, all right, is actually doing a supply work. They've actually discovered that joints do provide something. And synovial, thank you. A little coaching from the audience. So the synovial joint, there's that fluid that allows that joint to work. But I want you to understand, you say, well, that person's doing great, that's good, but that's for that joint. Every joint needs to do its part. This joint over here cannot provide for this joint over here. So you can't say, well, they're doing a great job, I don't need to do my part. No, you're part. You're part of a joint. You're part of what needs to be making this contribution. And every part's different, okay? You've got hinge joints, right? You know, you got ball joints, all right? It's different, and it's important. You got the saddle joint. This is an amazing feature that God has created, all right? I don't know exactly what part you are, but if your faith is in Christ, you're a part. Do your part. Now, let me tell you something. This is something just came to me right before service this morning. I was praying this through in the shower, if you must know. I say, what is that? Okay, what is the fluid that's coming from the joints? And two things came out to me very clearly. One is the encouragement. Is that any person you're in contact with, you need to provide encouragement. Lack of encouragement grinds bone to bone, okay? Over time, if you never give encouragement. What else causes stiffness of joints? Inflammation, because of pain. You need to give one another forgiveness. Do you understand how badly you've been wounded in the body? How badly you've been wounded. And it's an interesting thing. It does not matter how you got hurt or where you got hurt. It's going to affect the movement of your soul one to another. Forgiveness needs to flow from your joint to the persons around you. Grace the people around you with encouragement and forgiveness, and the body will keep moving. Haven't you met that person? You're like, oh, it's so sad to realize that it's almost like, they're just like this spiritually. And if you talk to them, you know, 25 years ago, somebody said this to me. I've never sang in church again. Somebody did this to me, and so I am never going to teach again. Somebody said this. So the head is supplying what you need, including the grace of the cross to forgive the grace of the cross to encourage. You are given from Christ all you need. Now, he does this grace thing through others, and it's so amazing that lifts us up when we function together. But you're a joint, and as a joint, you have a responsibility. It's an opportunity and a privilege. And so I want you to step out and serve in the truth, that you just would let his work be accomplished in you. Because as the play is made, each person does their part, and we make progress. It says it causes the growth of the body. What does? The proper working, the every joint supplying, that causes growth. It doesn't say fancy preachers make churches grow. That's an American cultural perspective. Okay? Attendance can grow. We're not talking about that. That actually happens when you love one another and you build one another up. We're seeing that. That was part of our testimony we heard here already this morning. But when each person does their part, we grow up. And so when you serve in truth, it blesses people. When John's over here playing on the keyboard, when Sandy's over here playing, both hands are helpful, aren't they? It's... do what you can do because it's going to bless somebody around you. All right, and that is so cool when we see that happen. And I'm thankful for that. So I want you to hear my heart. I'm encouraging you that we would maximize the ministry, that you would do what you can do, and it will change the rest of us. Because we grow up when you step up, when you're willing to do what he's invited you to do. And I know some of you will do that with serving in nursery, and some of you will do that by doing visitation. Some of you will do that by helping start a small group or hosting a small group. These things allow the body to keep growing, all right? But when a church works together, what does he say? The growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. When a church works together, they grow up in love. And one of the cool things that I'm excited about as a shepherd is that this church is known as a very loving church. And a lot of you say, well, then James, why are you even preaching this? Because I want to score more, all right? I want us to do better. There are more people to reach in this valley with the love of Christ. It's not that I want to see, I really don't want a whole bunch more services, okay? Let's be honest. But I want more people coming to Christ. So I don't care how it's going to affect me. What I care is how it's going to affect them. So I want our love being extended to them. Because we are here to make disciples. We're here to grow this whole process, to see people step forward in this bold way. You know, the result of Christ-like ministry is stability, maturity, and growth. That's what he's saying here. You look at that, you'll see it all there. It's stability, maturity, and growth. So when we do what he's called us to do, God is growing this body through you today. Do you understand that? And to whatever extent you neglect doing what he's called you to do, to that extent we won't be what we could be. All right? And so it's just that part of, it's let's let it happen. Let's express the fullness, all right? Because when you do your part, we win. That's this amazing thing going on. And so a church wins as every believer works together. We grow in loving as Christ loves. When we do this, to love as Christ loves, and what love looks like from you is going to be different from somebody else. So what am I trying to say? You've already heard me. Show up. Speak up. Link up. It'll change our world. It'll change our family. Let's pray. Lord, you are so good. And you've given us these amazing bodies. They just declare, awesome creator. Forgive us even for how often we gripe about them. Thank you for the intricacy of every joint in our physical body. And I thank you for the intricacy of every joint in this spiritual body. And Father, and we're a part of a bigger body, the Church of the Valley, and a part of the bigger body, the body of Christ throughout the world. Would you let us function well, that the gospel would be well proclaimed in Ethiopia? Would you let us function well so the gospel will be well proclaimed in Valley Cove in the Philippines? Would you let us step into doing what we could do if we would do it? Oh, Lord, only you know the potential that we have. But I believe it's greater than anything we've yet seen. So let your love flow through us. Don't let us just keep it to ourselves. Don't let it keep it to our own life group. But let us multiply. Let us expand the grace to this community for your glory and our joy. Amen. Amen.